Welcome to the July 26th, 2017 meeting of the Lawrence Douglas County Metropolitan Planning Organization. We'll start with our general business tonight. That is to receive and approve the minutes from June's meeting. Is there any discussion, additions, amendments, or motions?
I move we approve the action summary minutes from the June 28th meeting.
Moved by Commissioner Culver, seconded by Commissioner Willie. Any further discussion? All in favor of approval, please raise your hand. All those opposed? 7-0-1. Are there any committee reports? 6-0-1? Oh, that's right, there's only 6-0-1. There's
and
one,
I was
one abstention.
Meeting, so
mm-hmm. Counting. 5 is fine, 6 is a challenge. Any committee reports to receive from the last month? Commissioner Culver.
Yeah, I'd like to update the commission on the MPO, the Metropolitan Planning Organization meeting that we had last week. I received an update from staff on the Transportation 2040, which is a long-range comprehensive transportation plan that we've just started working on that, and it just finished up the public engagement phase one, and our now staffs are receiving feedback from the steering committee to put in and put comments into part one of the plan. From there, the committee will meet again in August and will begin discussing the financial aspects of the plan. At our mid-month meeting next month on August 9th, we will be receiving a more comprehensive update of this plan and where we're going with that. So that'll be a good time for questions and comments of the commission for that. MPO staff and consultants are continuing to work on the Lawrence Loop alignment study. They are continuing to explore potential alignments between the missing sections of the Lawrence Loop, the shared use plan from path from Burroughs Creek Trail to Burcham Park and the west side of Chandra Shaw Trail to the Peterson Road shared use path. Next step is for the consultant to propose alignment options and release a public survey. So we'll continue to update you on that as far as the Lawrence Loop goes. Also, the MPO staff and the consultant are working on the transit center location analysis. And as you know, that's been an ongoing project they've worked on, and we've entered into an agreement with the consultant to kick off a steering committee meeting and really start working on potential transit location centers. So I think down the road we'll see that as it proceeds, and I'll continue to update you on that as that study continues. Another study that the MPO staff's working on is a safety analysis of identifying hotspots for crash sites for all modes of transportation, and they'll be working with KDOT and a consultant to identify those and gather data, and with the plan of trying to improve any of those areas that are more prone to accidents. That's really about it from the MPO, but they'll continue to keep you updated as we proceed.
Thank you, Commissioner Culver. Any discussion or questions for Commissioner Culver on the MPO report? All right, any further committee reports for us to receive? And we move on to communications. Are there any written communications not shown in our packet tonight?
No, sir.
Any communication from staff, planning commissioners, or other commissioners?
I would note, Mr. Chairman, that we'd like to maybe review a couple of points on the mid-month calendar and the retreat at the end of tonight's meeting for you. I might also just add that a committee that is scheduled to meet next Monday is the Horizon 2020 Steering Committee. So we'll have maybe an update the next time we all meet together, but we're going to be asking them to look at a draft plan that has been posted to their agenda. So if you get anxious, you might start looking at the draft plan that Mr. Crick has led the way on writing up as a new comprehensive plan for the community. And we're also going to be asking that committee to help us determine the public process to get input from the public on that new plan, including cities and rural ways to get input from folks. So anyway, that's yet to come. It's going to be a pretty big work load issue for us and for the Planning Commission throughout the fall.
Thank you. Are there any written actions of waiver requests or determinations from the city engineer?
No, sir.
Do any of the commissioners care to make any ex parte communications disclosures? Any declarations of abstentions on any agenda item tonight? Seeing none, we'll move on to our first agenda item. First, I'd like to take a moment to welcome our newest commissioner, Luke Sinclair, to the Planning Commission. We have another Planning Commissioner, Erin Payden, who could not be here tonight, but she hopefully will join us next month. With that, let's move on to item number one, a preliminary plat in Cedar Grove Subdivision.
Good evening. Jeff Crick with the City County Planning Office, filling in for Sandy, so there's no confusion. Just pinch hitting tonight. The item before you this evening is a preliminary plat for the Cedar Grove Subdivision. You've seen this one before in a couple of different application processes. It's really at the intersection of Inverness and Wakarusa Drive. The area outlined in pink on the screen there is the part in question this evening. And to kind of give you a reference of what it looks like in space, we went ahead and superimposed the plat onto the aerial image so you can kind of see how the streets and the lines will line up with what's already on the ground there to see it right now. The three items you saw previously were two rezoning applications and a comprehensive plan amendment that would have revised Chapter 7, which was the old West Orient industrial node, and modify that one. To kind of give you an update on what's going on with that one, these cases are currently scheduled for first reading at City Commission on August 1st. It'll be coming very soon. So those were held up in relation to the preliminary plat. The Commission didn't want to see those items until the plat had been given its due course. So the plat this evening includes one industrial lot of about 5 acres. It would be zoned for IBP, 93 residential lots, 10 of which would be zoned for RM12D, which is the city's duplex zoning. One recommendation that staff has of the preliminary plat is the green space you see going around the north and the western lines of the plat here. This would equate to about a 40-foot easement, combination of utility and a landscape easement. Reason we can't quite nail down which easement is which quite yet is because the public improvement plans have not been submitted and approved, so we don't know the depth of the sewer runs. The depth of those runs will then trigger how much easement is required for sewer. What we do recommend is that the differential of those, whatever the balance is, the sewer is not encompassing, the landscape easement would encompass for a total of 40 feet around all the north and the western sides. This would mimic the average setback that you would see in a full IBP zoning category. So this will give some buffer to the existing residents that are along this way here. It would have been very similar to an IBP zoning if it would have come through. So you can see here, this is a sanitary sewer line easement that's running down that side. And to give you an idea of what that will end up encompassing is the two green spaces you see there on either side is an additional that would span out to 40 feet. So between currently platted line to that easement, about 15 feet. The easement itself is about 15 feet as proposed, and then you can see the addition on the right-hand side there of what a 40-foot easement would totally encumber in this position. Also to note on the plat there is a pedestrian connection kind of going off to the southwest there, so if an extension ever occurs to the trail system that is just off the screen to the left there, that would be available for the residents. There's also a proposed landscape easement that will be going around the RM12D portion to give buffer to both them and also to the residences for RS7 that are surrounded. It also gives them a little bit of an added buffer to the IPP zoning to the south there. So when industrial development does occur of an office complex, there's a little bit of an added green space already encumbered in the plat. Staff recommends the approval of the plat subject to the revised drawing, and you can see the details of it here. The total easement dedication to be 40 feet. The easement of not to exceed 25 feet for utilities and not to exceed 15 feet in total for the landscape easement. With that, I'd be glad to answer any questions you have.
Thank you, Jeff. This is a non-public hearing item, but is there anybody in the public who would like to speak on this item tonight?
Good evening, Commissioners. Jason Hoskinson. I'm an engineer with BG Consultants. We submitted the application for the preliminary plat. I'll hope to keep your meeting short. I really don't have anything to add beyond what was in the application. I think staff's done a great job there, but I would like to have an opportunity to address any questions or concerns that the commission has during the discussion.
Thanks. I'd like to know if we have any. And then this would be the public hearing item, which we would then close and bring it up here for discussion or questions or motions.
The buffer or the extra easement area, both around the total perimeter and then also between the duplex and the other residential, single residential, is that pretty typical, or is that, it seems to be above and beyond maybe what is typically asked for?
That's correct. It is a little bit above and beyond. Mm-hmm. To kind of give a little bit of a differential to what has occurred, since it was supposed to be an industrial park by nature, mm-hmm. rezoning is putting it down to residential, but it gives the residents that have kind of had some issues with the zoning at the first go-around, it gives them a little bit of added buffer to kind of comfort that space off, and it's not an abnormal item in a plat, it's just a little different to see it on this back side of a plat instead of being on the front or towards a major thoroughfare.
And the applicant was comfortable with that? Thank you.
Commissioner Carpenter?
Well, this is just for my enlightenment. You made a statement about the depth of the sewer had something to do with the easement size. How do those two relate together?
The deeper the sewer runs, the more easement is usually required by the utilities department in case of servicing it. So if it's a very shallow run, the easements are usually very narrow because they don't need to get larger equipment in there to reach down that deep to get the sewer. So as it starts to decline, as the gravity sewer goes down, the easement tends to widen out. So it kind of works in a very typical fashion. The old engineer told me for every foot you go down, you need a foot and a half wide to make it work. I don't know if that's an old adage or not, if that was just how he did his math, but so it's kind of a, you know, for every foot down, you need about a foot and a half to make it kind of be able to access it should something go wrong.
Thanks. Commissioner Sands.
The pedestrian easement, that connects to the gas easement, right?
That would be the high-pressure gas easement that's in plat.
Okay. And so then there was a, recall something in the report about not knowing how that was going to be constructed or who was going to have responsibility on paving or connecting one to the other?
Correct.
Okay. So then my final question is, there's not going to be any paving going on that gas easement, or is there?
It depends on kind of how Parks and Rec maybe works out a deal with the owner of the easement to kind of put the trail through there.
Okay.
It's kind of been what's occurred to the northwest of it that you kind of see coming off the screen right there. That would be something that would come through with public improvements and with Parks and Rec as they start to take a look at those items.
Okay, so it may not be paved as a sidewalk or multi-use path, but it might be graveled or something to kind of go with the trail and DeVicker?
I believe DeVicter is mostly paved, though, so it may be in the same line, but I can't speak for Parks and Rec at this time.
I think it depends on if there's a prohibition, a rule that the gas company has about hard surfacing over that easement.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I didn't read that you know, someone's going to pave about 50 feet of sidewalk that starts nowhere and goes nowhere.
Yeah, no, the intent is to get a connection to DeVicter.
Some form
through
of connection.
There. And we think that's feasible, but there's some details to work out.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further questions or discussions? I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion.
Commissioner Sands.
I'd like to recommend approval of the preliminary plat for Cedar Grove subdivision subject to the following condition, that submission of the revised preliminary plat drawing to show utility easement along the north and west property lines does not exceed 25 feet, and an adjacent parallel landscape easement does not exceed 15 feet for a total easement area dedication of 40 feet per staff approval.
Thank you. We have a motion. We have a second.
Sure.
Commissioner Weaver, I should note that we are the approving body on this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, raise your hand. All those opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Thank you. Item 2, a final development plan for 6 Walk Phase 2.
Hello again. This item is for a final development plan at the 6 Walk addition of Phase 2. You may all know it better as the northwest corner of 6th and Wakarusa Street. The item this evening is outlined in blue, as you can see there, and it's currently comprised of two parcels, which we'll talk about here in just a little bit. The proposal is for a 10,770 square foot retail building that will be 5 tenant bays, will contain some outdoor dining and about approximately 85 parking spaces as it is lined out right now. You can see here that this is the associated application will be that there's two parcels kind of roughly outlined, one in red and one in green here. The minor subdivision that we have in place with the office currently is to combine these two for this purposes of this final development plan. So currently with the final development plan that's already been adopted, there are two buildings in play here. And the red one you can see here is about 1,800 square feet, and there's another building in green there that's about 7,400 square feet for a total of 9,200 square feet in total that's currently proposed in the final development plan that's adopted. The application before you this evening does not include the building to the north, kind of right here. It is not as part of this final development plan at this time. When that building comes forward, it will be another application before the Planning Commission, so that one is a freestanding application that may come in the future. The one building this evening is just going to be a single building, so it takes the square footages of the other two buildings, combine them into one, and that is the proposal this evening. So to kind of give you a rough idea of what it looks like, the parking lot there is hatched in gray. The building is right here, kind of in a white space. It's a little difficult to see. And that is what it will kind of look like on the site there. We imposed this one also into the area, so you can kind of get a feel of what it will look like as we kind of proposed the layout. So part of the final development plan includes a review of this for the community design manual here. As you can see from the bottom left indicator there, this would be the view of the building from 6th Street as proposed. This would be the view from approximately Overland Drive from the north. You can kind of see there is some corner articulation going on with the far left and far right hand side of the screens. This would be from the Congressional Drive, from the west side, and also from the east side. So it has a very similar profile in both of its corners. And to give you an idea of what it will look like a little bit in its taller view, the isometric here gives you a pretty good idea of the way the building is articulated. Staff recommends approval of the building subject to a couple of conditions. First, the recording of the minor subdivision that I mentioned earlier, and also the completion of a performance site plan agreement with the office here. We also recommend changing the building's architectural design by including cornices and that lifted element that you saw at the corners of the building and mimicking that to the 6th Street side. Those big kind of lifts that you see right on this, right here in front of you, should be mimicked onto the 6th Street side to give the building a little bit of balance, bring it in more in line with the community design manual, and also put that articulation forward to 6th Street so that the back of the building has equal massing in front as the other one side does. And also to include and revise the outdoor dining into the parking table, which is not done at the plan before you this evening. And with that, I'd be glad to answer any questions you may have on this project.
Thanks, Jeff. Is the applicant here and wishing to say anything? No? All right.
Chairman,
yep.
I might just add,
in case you see this in the newspaper or media, that we have an association with a future final development plan to the north. We've received a request to break access on 6th Street for a right-in only there. It's kind of mid-block on 6th Street into the Walmart lot. We have to process that through the city commission first because there's a specific city code that speaks to access on 6th Street from Wakarusa over to the K-10 highway. When that street was developed to urban standards, access management was put there was a high value on access management. So there's an actual code standard in the city code that speaks to access management. All other developments come in and we apply the city's typical access management standards to those developments, but this is actual city code. So we have to go put forth before the city commission a code amendment to allow them the opportunity to work on that final development plan in the future, probably very near future, to bring to the Planning Commission with an access break in 6th Street. So I just wanted you to know that that's in the works as well. You might see that in the media between now and the time you see the final development plan and wonder if it was connected to this southern plan. It really isn't. This plan works whether or not the write-in gets approved, as I understand it, but it is a part of the future development plan.
Commissioner Colvin.
Just to follow up on that for clarity, this application does not have anything to do with an access break to Sixth Street, correct?
Correct. That access break would actually happen on the Walmart lot, so there'll be a subdivision application and all the necessary applications to accommodate that access break.
Okay.
But this does not include it and stands alone.
Okay.
As it currently stands, access would be taken from Overland.
Yes, sir.
Correct. Okay. All right. Any further discussion, Commissioner Willie?
So we've gone from two smaller buildings that added up to 9,200 square feet to one larger building that's 10,700 or so. Have we increased any green space or anything to offset that we've got a larger building square footage? What have we gained by it?
Yeah, green space is one of the bigger ones. You're going to get a little bit more on the side there. We've also lost a drive-through. The other final development plan, the one that's been adopted, have a drive-through component. This one does not have a drive-through component, so it's a little bit of a modification in that respect. Really, it's the consolidation of the two buildings in there, and then the reserve of the balance for the third building when it comes in was a key aspect of that one. There is a nodal plan in effect on this corner, and the retail cap is in effect from that nodal plan, so the balance of the retail space was reserved for that other building. So nothing will change as far as the retail cap as it's proposed right now. So we have a balance, we do have the more that green space, and then that drive-through drops off.
And then if we refigure the parking plan to include the outdoor dining area, will we lose some of that green space? Will we need more parking when we see this again?
It may need a little bit more parking, but it wouldn't be too substantial from my understanding of it. I don't know if the full detail of the outdoor dining has been completely articulated at this time, but mm-hmm. It's something we would take into review and make sure there is some balance to that effect.
Okay.
Further questions? Commissioner Carpenter?
Do we still have a square footage retail cap at this intersection?
We do.
Mm-hmm. And where are we? When you add this one in, where are we on reaching that cap?
With accounting for the balance of the other one, it is done. It's hit its peak.
Okay. So, all right. And I guess this access, that's an artifact from the Bauer Farms access off of the state highway back at that time. Is that where that restriction came from?
Well, the access management actually starts at Wakarusa
uh-huh.
and goes west toward K-10. So Bauer Farm is just outside of the access management developed for West 6th Street development. Bauer Farm gained its access points through all the proper channels, through platting and final development planning.
Okay.
Am I answering your question?
I'm just trying to put this in historical context because I remember the big arguments at the Planning Commission back then about access points, and a lot of that dealt with 31st and Iowa development at the time, but we got other things were put in place around that time.
Yeah, I mean, just to speak for a minute about the big picture and putting it all in context, a lot of our current codes are in response to 23rd Street, decades worth of kind of linear commercial development and driveways to every lot. And so now our concepts for nodal commercial development and higher access management standards are affecting a lot of this development. And so when you get west of Iowa, you'll find that we're more sort of that Avenue Boulevard. Clinton Parkway is a pretty easy road to get through pretty quickly. 23rd Street is better than, or 6th Street West is better than 23rd Street or 6th Street East of Iowa, those kinds of things. And so the pendulum has sort of swung that way. And in fact, we've, with participation of KDOT funds, have worked quite a lot to consolidate driveways on 23rd Street, East 23rd Street. So I don't know if you've noticed over time, but there's, I don't know, 10 or more maybe points there where as redevelopment has occurred, we've worked with owners using some funds from the state and even some local and developer participation to combine or eliminate driveways altogether on East 23rd Street, along with my favorite type of sign, the pole signs. So 23rd Street over time has really changed. So.
Thank you.
Commissioner Sands.
Commissioner Carpenter, when you're talking about the retail space, of the two buildings. You said both buildings. Are you talking about this one that's on FDP and then the one that's supposed to go to the north? Okay, yeah. So the one that's the 10,000 square or 9,000 square foot building that we're talking about today, plus the future potential addition of the other one, puts it at the retail cap.
Correct.
Okay. I just weren't sure if you were referencing Walmart or something else in that.
No, I just know there were retail caps for those intersections up there, and they've been nudged around and played with over time, and just wondered where we were with those numbers now.
The last adjustment that we did accounted for the three buildings that are in the currently adopted final development plans. That is where that cap number came from and was basically zeroed out of that effect. So rearranging the buildings doesn't affect the cap in any way, just as long as that number totals out. Mm-hmm. Now, certain things may not necessarily be retail in their thing, like a dentist office is in a retail establishment, so it doesn't run into that same limit as a restaurant will.
Right.
But yeah, the caps are still in place. This would, if everything was to go retail, it would hit that mark.
And just to answer your question, the question was really, we're not going to have a future request that's going to want us to bump that above what we have in place as a cap. And the answer was, we're not. So, but it could come anyway, of course. But
you won't get that request with what we understand is coming with this kind of near-term future development or final development plan. But I mean, interestingly, as specific uses even change out of buildings, we have to go back to that cap and determine if it's retail or not to determine if they can take over a tenant space.
Okay. Commissioner Wheeler.
So in the absence of an applicant on this, I'll ask you that the design elements to beef up the profile that faces 6th Street, is that something that's already been discussed with the applicant? And, you know, as far as it seems fairly specific what, you know, what we've asked for in terms of a design element. Do they have some room to play with that to accomplish what you're asking for and yet satisfy their own architectural interests?
Kind of doing the fill-in here, so I can't say I've been privy to every conversation that's occurred, but as far as my understanding is, they have been apprised of that request as part of the final development plan. They have not made any motion that that is a negative item for them at this point in time. They're pretty early along in the design phase, so catching this at this point is something that's easier done than if it was coming out of the ground already.
Mm-hmm. Any further discussion? Motion? Mr. Sands.
Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve the final development plan for 6 Walk Edition Phase 2 based upon the findings of fact presented in the body of the staff report and subject to the conditions enumerated 1 through 4.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Commissioner Culver. Further discussion? All those in favor, please raise your hand.
All those opposed?
Same sign, 7-0. All right. On to our first miscellaneous item. A variance request. Evening, Catherine.
Get this pulled up here. So I'm here before you tonight to bring a miscellaneous item that's associated with a minor subdivision that we currently have in review. Typically, minor subdivisions are administratively approved, and anything that would change easements or right-of-way would go before City Commission. Why it's before you tonight is that any variance to the subdivision design standards would come before the Planning Commission and require approval from this body. As part of this minor subdivision application, the applicant is requesting some variances for Lot 2, the proposed Lot 2. There's three lots currently there in existence. For the current zoning, which is R7, the minimum requirements for lot area are 7,000 square feet, and for lot width are 60 feet. They are asking for a reduction for Lot 2. From the 7,000 to 5,730-ish to and 60 from the 60-foot width requirement to 46 wide. Currently, the lot, the three lots that are there, are 40. They're already under the standard, which is 40-foot wide by approximately 125 feet. So that's a total lot area of 5,000 square feet. They are trying to accomplish a double-size lot and a single-size lot, and so their request is.